I've just been reading Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a very beautiful book, full of sweet descriptions of the activities of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Highly recommended for everyone, so that we can remember Krishna, God, at every step of our lives, and remember Him at the moment of death, and then go to Him. So now I'd like to talk something about something apparently completely different, although nothing is outside the energy of Krishna. Everything is created by Krishna, everything is maintained by Krishna, everything is ultimately destroyed by Krishna. I'm going to talk about Facebook. I'm just discovering a little bit about Facebook. I'm not very interested in it, maybe because I'm from an older generation and I find that life is anyway complicated enough as it is without any more adding any complications to our life. Almost certainly some scholars, social psychologists or whatever in some universities somewhere are studying the effects of Facebook on individuals, the social effects. But why are we interested in this? Well, it might be thought that people who are interested in God won't have anything to do with this material world. But we are also interested to bring the message of God, of Krishna, to the world, and various means that have been invented by materialistic people for materialistic purposes, they can and should also be used for the highest benefit of life. Ultimately, the materialistic people who created all this Facebook and internet and so many things, they were inspired with the intelligence to do so by Krishna within the heart, because they want to forget Him. He gave them and gives more and more ways in which they can absorb their minds in the various complications of this material world, but it can be used also by devotees of Krishna to spread the message of Krishna. Otherwise, we have no intrinsic interest in anything in this world. At least we're trying to become so pure in our consciousness that we're completely absorbed in loving thoughts of Krishna. Facebook and the internet in general is a medium or a group of media whereby all kinds of messages can be propagated. And some people have become well known as just as Facebook stars. And they became well known due to their appearances, or they became much better known due to their appearances and what they do on Facebook. We are interested in promoting a message, the message of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that message which can give the highest benefit to everyone. We're not interested in promoting ourselves, but it is natural that someone who speaks that message, well, he gets seen again and again and again, and if more and more people become attracted to that message, that's very good, but the message is most important, but the messenger, one who gives an important message, also becomes considered important. So we should be very careful in delivering this message through Facebook or whatever media, not to become attracted by the mundane pleasure of becoming popular, becoming considered important. We always have to remember that we are delivering the message simply as a servant of Krishna. Now, this message of Bhagavad Gita is very powerful. It's spiritually powerful, which is why it has survived and flourished over eons. Why is that? Why is Bhagavad Gita still popular today after so many thousands of years? Well, the major reason is because there's a very important and valid message for all people in all times and all places, that we are eternal living beings. We are meant for eternal happiness. We're not meant to suffer in this material world. We're supposed to live with Krishna in the spiritual world. So, although the Bhagavad Gita is only 700 short verses, it has a very powerful message. So, someone can become well known by promoting this message. It's the message that makes them well known, not themselves intrinsically. But we have to be very careful that we don't become addicted to the name, fame, and glory of becoming a well-known and popular messenger. We shouldn't run a personality cult, in other words. So that's one danger of presenting that message. We always have to remember that the message is important, not the messenger so much. There are many people with messages in this world and many popular gurus. Some of them seem to become popular more or less by promoting a personality cult. They don't really have anything substantial to say, but people like to, certain kind of person, there seem to be many of them in the world, like to identify themselves with someone who's very popular and who gives off some vague spirit of being good. So, well, it's nice to be good, better than being bad, but a real message will give us explicit instructions on what it means to be good, to be spiritual, to distinguish spirit from matter, to distinguish spirituality from materialism. So there are some strictures that have to be followed. For instance, in our Krishna Conscious Movement, those who want to seriously take to it, they have to completely forswear all meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex, and intoxication. So many people, they want to be cheated by having someone who will tell them you can be spiritual by giving some mumbo-jumbo ideas, but not telling them that, well, to start to be spiritual, you have to start to lead a pure life. Spiritual means pure consciousness. So we cannot have pure consciousness with activities that grossly contaminate the consciousness and cause harm to others, by being sinful, by performing sins. We should be very careful not to cut a profile. We have the Facebook profile. People give their Facebook profile. This word profile comes from Greek, I believe, or maybe Latin, which means a mask in a drama. People can wear a mask and then people can't see what their real face is. They don't. The mask shows a certain expression, which is not necessarily the expression on the face of the person who's wearing a mask. So a profile, it can mean simply listing the qualities of a person, like a CV, which shows that born on such and such a date, speaks so many, this language and that language, this educational qualification, this work experience. So that can be called a profile, and that can be added to more by the kind of personality, some idiosyncrasies, and in this way we get to understand something about what is the personality, and that can be called a profile. Another meaning of the word profile is like a drama. Someone puts on a show of being something that they're actually not. They present themselves to be better or more powerful or more sexy or whatever. Or they promote themselves in a certain way to make an impression on others. They may not actually be that inside, but they make a show of being something which they're not. And as in a drama, by putting on that show, they might start to imbibe those qualities. Just like an actor in a drama, he's supposed to identify with the part so much that at least while he's playing it, he forgets who he really is and becomes as if that personality who he's acting, even though the personality in most cases in dramas is a fictional personality. It means, putting on a show of being something that one is not. It's somewhat hypocritical and deceitful. And the Facebook profile, or the internet profile in general, affords one the possibility to do that far more than one can in what we can call real life. This is no doubt the kind of thing that psychologists who are studying Facebook are studying in some depth. You can make comments, you can promote yourself to, you can, in your comments, you can be nasty like anything, which you might not dare to do if you're speaking face to face on someone, especially if you make an anonymous profile. But even if you're not anonymous, you're sitting behind a cute computer somewhere, and other people who are on the same web page or Facebook page, they're also sitting behind a computer somewhere, and you don't really know each other, but you just know the profile which the person under some name promotes. And then you have Facebook friends. This idea of Facebook friends and the whole social networking has radically changed the whole concept of what it means to be a friend. A friend, I suppose, is someone who likes your comment. You get more likes than you appreciate that, but then you have to reciprocally like what they say. So it's a friend on the basis of you scratch my back, I scratch yours, or I like your comment and you like my comment. And in this way, our ego gets promoted. But it doesn't have all the nuances and responsibilities of an actual friendship in which you're actually living with people. And you can't keep up a profile so easily. You can't pretend so much to be someone that you're not. And especially as the friendship becomes more deep, or the, even not friendship, even familiarity with a person becomes more and more deep, then you begin to see the person very well. And it's understood or supposed that a husband and wife living together, they know each other so intimately. They can't hide from each other. Although maybe the wife has no idea how her husband behaves in the workplace or in the bar. And with a Facebook profile, we can indulge in fantasy of who we would like to be, and living in our internet presence, we can live in a fantasy, and with video games, we can live in a fantasy of being some intergalactic warrior or whatever nonsense we want to imagine ourselves to be. Some people might be offended by saying, no, because they're so attached to their illusory profile of being an intergalactic warrior saving the universe. Oh, completely nonsense. Of course, from the understanding of Bhagavad Gita, we know that everyone in this world is acting a profile anyway, because we're only in the body that we're in now for a short time, and then we'll go to another body with another mentality, with another profile. Why do we cut a profile at all? Because we don't really know who we are. Our personality, what is our personality exactly? We don't really know who we are. Well, from Bhagavad Gita, we know who we are. Mamai vangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. We are eternally connected with Krishna, with God. Our real personality is spiritual. But mana shashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Having come in this material world, we're on the mental platform, means on the platform of the mind, of the false ego, of the misused intelligence, and therefore we struggle with the mind. We struggle in material existence on the platform of the mind, not knowing that we are beyond the flickering state of the mind. Now this, the psychologists in the university, they might not accept this, but they're studying the mind, but they don't know that behind the mind is the consciousness, which is the symptom of the soul. So this internet, we can cut a profile, we can live on the internet practically, spend most of our time on the internet. So many people, first thing when they do when they wake up in the morning, if they wake up in the morning, some of them, they're awake at night and sleep in the day. Another unnatural thing. First thing they do, check to see if any incoming messages or something I have to check up on, check out on WhatsApp or Twitter or something. Just, it's actually called an addiction. It's considered an addiction. Addiction used to mean to drugs. Well, that's still going on. Drugs, alcohol, tobacco, all these things. But there are psychological addictions also, like gambling addiction. Pornography addiction is much fueled by the internet. Shopping addiction. These are psychological states that one goes to again and again and again, and one tries to take shelter of shopping, or one, maybe you find the world so distressing and so complicated, it's easier to live on the internet with a Facebook profile in which you, to some extent, you can dictate the terms. You can just cut someone out, defriend them, or... but in real life, you have to deal with real people and real situations. And on the internet, it's semi-illusory. Of course, the internet can promote so many good things. One thing, it helps to expose all the profiles of the people who are cheating us in the name of being politicians and scientists. It helps to, that all can be exposed. Of course, it can be used by the politicians and so on to cheat us also. But there's more of a level playing field when anyone can get up there and point out how so-and-so is lying. So this so-and-so theory is flawed. So it's very democratic in that sense. And so the internet can be used, misused. Terrorism is being promoted, this ISIS terrorist organization. Apparently they took good use of the good use or misuse of the word of the internet to promote their perverse ideals. Of course, we can never really know what's going on out there, because what people tell you and what is actually going on, we don't really know, is the concept now of fake news. But we don't know if the fake news is fake or the real news is fake, or we can't say for sure. It's a very, we can become more and more confused on the internet. In our attempt to avoid the confusion of this world, we go into an illusory world and get confused there. Well, as we understand from Bhagavad Gita, this whole world is a world of confusion, of a mirror world in which we don't actually see the real thing. There's also the dark net, which is used to try to circumvent governmental surveillance of people on Facebook and elsewhere on the internet. And that's also used for all kinds of grossly sinful things, like promoting pornography, child pornography you can get on the regular internet, child pornography, for instance. Many horrible things. Devotees of Krishna on Facebook, as I say, I'm being introduced to this. I see some devotees' profiles, and it's very telling when you see people's profiles. You get a, especially if you know the person, or if you have some idea, if you know, I mean actually know them as a person. It's very interesting to see how they present themselves to the world, how they want to be seen by the world in general. Most devotees of Krishna, whose profiles I've seen on the internet, not that I've seen dozens of them, but it seems they're not very happy to promote themselves or to present themselves, let me use that word, as devotees of Krishna. Which, to some extent, is reasonable and understandable. If they're largely involved in the secular world, in a job and society and so many things, and they're not, their main engagement is not being a preacher of Krishna consciousness, and their practice of Krishna consciousness is largely their private thing. I've seen at least one devotee of Krishna who has photos of himself in secular attire, in devotional attire, and in the kind of attire which a sannyasi shouldn't see. Means promoting themselves in a somewhat sexy way, we can say. That's another problem with the internet. The just promoting sexual vibes everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. I don't know if it's still there in Italy, but it's a long time since I was in Italy, but they have big advertisements, huge, what are they called, billboards, with naked women. It's legal in Italy. What do you do if you want to keep your consciousness pure? Very difficult. So on the Facebook, the internet, it's everywhere. I was looking at something about Ayurveda, some health thing, and there's a picture of a woman in, anyway, you can imagine. I mean, yoga, if you look at yoga, they always have pretty young women. Why? Is it only pretty young women who do yoga? So this sexual vibes promoted everywhere. And it's so ubiquitous that we just take it as normal, but it's not conducive for developing a higher consciousness. It drags us down to the animal platform of simply desiring sex. So sex is there, it's part of human life, but it's not to be excessively encouraged. There has to be some control on that, otherwise man goes down to the level of animals or worse. So the devotees, I can see from their profiles that they seem to be, at least how I see it, they're stuck between two identities. They're not quite sure what their actual profile should be. They want to devotees, they want to show themselves as devotees, and to non-devotees, they want to present themselves as being, well, just one of them. So they'll be there in their t-shirts and shorts with their bead bag in their hand, and maybe they're hoping that the devotees will see the bead bag and won't see the shorts. And they're hoping that the non-devotees who they're trying to interact with will see the shorts and not the bead bag. Or maybe they're not concerned at all about the shorts because it's become so accepted in devotee society that you dress as a sense enjoyer. And you may say, well, that's not very gross sense enjoyment, and wearing shorts isn't very gross sense enjoyment, but it does, as with any clothing, it tells who we want to be, who we want to identify with. And if you wear no clothing, that shows you don't identify with anyone, or maybe, except maybe if you're a nudist colony. But however we dress, it sends a message. So we can see that devotees, they're trying to be devotees in a world which doesn't very well accept them. At least they seem to have that impression, or they want to be accepted in both worlds, which is understandable. But at the same time, we should understand that to be half devotee and half non-devotee, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, it's not going to work if we're ultimately going to fully become Krishna consciousness. Ma me kam sharanam raja, Krishna says. Give yourself, fully take shelter of me. Ananyas chintayantrama, always absorbed in thought of me with no other thought. So devotees who are in this half and half world, I don't want to blame you, because I congratulate you for coming to Krishna consciousness and maintaining it in adverse circumstances. But we should know that we're playing with fire as much as we do identify ourselves with materialistic people. Literally, well, not literally, but almost literally, playing with fire, because what is Dushpurena Analena Cha, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that material desire burns in the heart like a fire. So if we indulge that, to the extent that we indulge that, we are stoking the fire of material desire. So it may be a social necessity for so many devotees, but at some point we have to decide, who do we want to stand with? Who do we want to be friends with? Who do we want to be identified with? You can't have both, ultimately. As Rupa Goswami has, in a roundabout way, said that if you desire to enjoy the company of society and friends, all this materialistic society, don't go to Vrindavan, where Krishna is standing playing on his flute. Because if you see Krishna, you hear Krishna, then you'll forget all attraction for materialistic society. So one, don't go. In other words, he's saying, give up all that and run to Vrindavan and take shelter of Krishna. In a roundabout way, he's saying it. So I'll try to understand to some extent and to sympathize to some extent with devotees whose profile that they present to the world is somewhat here, somewhat there. At least it's somewhat here and not all there. But we should know that we have to come all the way to Krishna and consider how to live our lives in this world in such a way that we can always come to the level of always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. And in this way, leading a fully spiritual life. Hare Krishna. All right. Now you can go and check your Facebook account.